I wish Bruce would just continue. Amen. Let's just pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we worship you. We thank you for your sweet presence. And we thank you for the great privilege we have to gather under an open heavens. Lord, created, Lord, by your mercy and your favor upon our fathers, under the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. We ask for mercy. So I go into your word, Father, I present myself afresh to you. And I ask for fresh mercy and unction from your throne to enable me to bring forth this word in purity, with clarity and in power, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, and let it do an internal, eternal work in all our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will. Our minds further illuminated with the light and revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit. Our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit, of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so that, Lord, we will become more like you. And, Lord, the Christ in us will increase and self will decrease in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that as your word goes forth, let every cloud be dispelled. Let encouragement and joy and strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, so that, Lord God, we will arise and we will press deeper into the temple, being raised up by Peter and John in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, we will press in even deeper and deeper, Lord, into the presence, Lord, so that, Lord God, your purpose will continually be fulfilled in our lives and through us on the earth in Jesus' name. I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help it to be concise, to be precise, redeeming the time, not saying unnecessary things, Lord, so that, Lord, in this place, as a scribe instructed into the kingdom, I will bring forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old. Let his word bring refreshing to my fathers. Let it be a blessing to my brethren. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I would like to give honor to my fathers, Pastor and Mommy, for their love and their prayers that over all these years, from when the word was a seed, has been nurturing, inspiring, encouraging, correcting, and bringing us closer and closer to the fulfillment of God's promise. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Your gentleness indeed, your patience is making us great. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers that have gone ahead. In fact, I had to call on the God of my fathers. When I looked at the time, I said, "Ah, God, please, oh, God of my father." And he answered me. So that's a secret. And when you're tired, just say, "God of my fathers." And he came through. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The word that God has given me to share this evening is a very simple word. It's based on the prophetic word that God gave Mommy and Pastor, that it's a year, 2019 is a year of the completion of God's government, and it's also a year or season of Rehoboth, where God is making room for us so we can be fruitful. All right, and we know from the story that Mommy shared with us in Genesis 26, I really don't want to waste time, I want to really be brief, is that, Genesis 26, verse 18 and 19, there, somewhere there, right up to 22, we see that Isaac dug a well, and the well there was this well of water springing up into eternal life. And people came and strove with him and said, "It's our own." And he left it for them. And no, Sitna, Esek, until he got to a place where they did not strive with him. And he said, "The Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful." That word, kept resonating, in our heart. And with it came this thought that the path of the just is as a shining light. Let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Thank you. Exactly. So it came Rehoboth, that the Lord had now, everybody say, "For now." For now. The Lord had made room for us, and we shall be fruitful. Where? In the land. The land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Amen. All right. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, quickly. "But the path of the just is as the shining light the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And we are in the perfect day. The day is unfolded, amen? As we await the manifestation of God's glory, we know that the Spirit without measure has been released upon the earth. We see that in Luke chapter 3, where the Lord Jesus Christ was being baptized. And the Bible says that three things happened. It says that as he prayed, being baptized, the heavens were open. And we see an open heavens. We know that we are operating in this house by the grace of God under an open heavens. We see the answer to prayer. We see words not returning void. Amen. So we know that we're under an open heavens. And then the Bible also says that there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So first, the heavens were open. Second, there was a voice. Now that voice is the type of the man. The Bible says, "Say that you do not refuse the voice of him that speaks from heaven." So whenever Pastor Amomi mount on this pulpit, there is a voice of God in their own voice that is speaking to us expressly. Amen. And the clarity and the purity of what they're saying is so very clear that you know that this is of God. Amen. So we see that. So we know that the third thing is true, that the Spirit of God was descended from heaven and alighted upon him as a dove. If we see the first two, then the third one is there. So we know that the Spirit without measure has been released. And now, after that, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Now you know why you are fasting for 32 days. Amen. Amen. You know why you fasted last year for 21 days. Amen. There is this kind. Does not go out except by fasting and prayer. Amen. There's some things that God has to remove so that he can dot the I's and cross the T's. And then we now come out in Luke chapter 4 verse 14 in the power of the Spirit. Amen. And that's what God is doing. And while we are in this place where God is, there is a path we need to walk in. That's why the Bible says there is the path of the just. There's a path. You cannot walk in another path. Amen. Now let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 15 to 19. Let's read the story. "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Next verse. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying," to further drive that statement in, he says, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." Okay? "And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." So the ground had fruits in it. Then, next verse. "And he said, This I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods." So the ground brought forth two things. It brought forth fruit and it brought forth goods. So he had to create room for the two. That's what he's trying to say here. Next verse. "And I will say to my soul," this was a mistake, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink, eat, drink, and be merry." But the goods cannot keep your soul. It's the fruits that can keep your soul. Okay? Next verse. Okay? "But God said to him, Thou fool," because what he did was not wise. Okay? "This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast?" He made a wrong choice. And brethren, you know, the first is to identify with him. If you are in his shoes, we likely would have made the same choice. We would have chosen goods over fruits. So there are two types of increase. There is the increase of covetousness, where it's purely external, and you are looking for goods and goods and goods. And there is the increase of fruitfulness, where you're looking for fruit, and then the fruit will attract the goods. On the outward, they look the same. But there's a difference inside. Because in one, there is fruit. And that fruit allows you to be able to handle the goods without the goods corrupting you. See, this is the issue. So it's about priority now. God wants us, our priority, to be the fruit. And notice what he said. He said he needs to pull down the bars and build greater. There is a need to pull down, throw down, cast down, destroy, build and plant. Jeremiah 1 verse 10. Let's look at that. Jeremiah 1 verse 10, very quickly. Thank you. See, by revelation, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. That's our destiny. The church is supposed to rule over the nations. Amen. To do what? Root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down. You can't do it for the nations except first do it for yourself. Inside. Amen. To then build and to plant. So the process was the same for the external goods and for the internal fruit. So what God is trying to teach us here is that we should prioritize our spiritual growth and our spiritual prosperity above our physical growth and physical prosperity. And there is reward in it, brethren. If you look at Proverbs chapter 11, you will see Proverbs verse 4, but Proverbs 11, 4 to 7. Let the riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness, fruit, will deliver a person from premature physical death. If Satan cannot stop us, if he can't stop you from serving God, the next thing he has to do is to take you out prematurely. But he will fail because you are under covering and you are also building righteousness, the character of Christ, into your soul and into your body. Amen? That's the will of God. I'm going to see an example here, Apostle Paul in Acts 27, 22, 25. We're not going to turn there, but I'm sorry, it's a story we're familiar with. Paul told them, no, don't let's go on this journey, okay? But let's just turn quickly to verse 22, and you see the point here is that there is profiting. There is profiting. Because many times you look and say, I don't have this, I don't have that. You are alive. Amen. You are alive with God. Amen. And so all things are possible. All things are possible. Left to the devil, you will not be here. So we give God praise. Amen. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. Amen. You're breathing God's good air. All right. Okay, it says, I exhort you to be of good. It says, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep. Next verse. Okay. No life lost. Amen. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve. See that ownership. See ownership. I am his, and I'm serving him. All right, next verse. It says, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and Lord, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Amen. Thank God we are under godly spiritual oversight. Amen. Whose is of God? And who's God? I mean, they are serving God. You know what I mean? They are of God and they are serving God. And we are sailing with them. So he cannot touch us. Amen? So protection is the first thing. All right? Next one is, look at next verse. Proverbs 11 now. Jump back towards the verse 5. Proverbs 11. The righteousness of the perfect shall what? Direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Next one is divine guidance. Divine guidance is important because where God has to lead, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So God leads us into our destiny. That is very important. And so we need to know where to put our feet, when to travel, when not to travel, when to do this, when not to do that. We need to put our footstep in his own. And that is what divine leading is all about. Okay? And you know, once you're protected and you're alive, next thing is to make sure that we are walking in the light of his will. Amen. That's righteousness. You're doing only what he asks you to do at the time he asks us to do it. Amen. Of course, we may make mistakes. You know what I mean? You know, but we learn from them. Amen. And then we now make sure we perfect it. So the righteousness of the perfect will, you know, he will direct his way. So he can direct your way. Nobody else has to direct your way. Satan doesn't have to direct our way. We can direct our way. And look at what the servant of Abraham said. You're operating under covering, you know, in Genesis 24, verse 27. He says, I've been in the way. He says, blessed be the God of my master Abraham. Again, positioning himself under covering. you know, who has not left my master destitute of mercy and truth. It's by mercy and truth, oh brethren. It's not by your own know-how. God has to show us mercy on our infirmities from outside, so that those infirmities don't get it. But left to us, we can't help ourselves. It is the mercy of God from the outside that helps us to now act on the truth of God, and then we are led by the Spirit. Amen? And that's what the servant was saying. So, in all the people that were in that Padan Aram, the first person that came to that well was the person that he needed to see. See, so is that's not coincidence. So, he's being led by the Spirit. Amen? So, divine leading. And then, of course, the next one is protection and deliverance. Okay, along the path, Satan tries to attack. All right, look at that. Look at the next verse. It says, the righteousness of the upright shall what? Deliver them. But transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. No matter how much money they have. No matter who they know. No matter how well connected they are. In this evil time, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. In this evil time, these are the things that matter. And it's important to have it in the front of our eyes. Amen? So we're looking at it. So, deliverance from premature death, divine guidance and protection, and you're on the path of destiny and you're unstoppable. Because as you keep growing spirit and keep putting in more fruit, keep walking in the fruit, keep walking in righteousness, as you keep growing, you are walking on that path. That's the path to your destiny. With that path of righteousness is the path to your destiny. When anytime anything comes that tries to lure you away from the path, let that thing go and you stay on the path. That is the will of God for us. Amen. All right. And you know, fruitfulness is not coming to us by looking outwardly. Luke 17:10. Pastor Boyega quoted it today. He shared it with me inside. And I said, it's amazing. That's in my notes. Luke 17:10 says, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. Stop looking for room from outside. The room is coming inside. And then the room inside helps you to be fruitful. Amen. That is the will of God. Okay, so the room comes inside, and by laying hold on the divine nature, that is how we make the room. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Let's just so it's not from outside, it's from inside. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So there is life. There is a substance that enables us to escape into righteousness. We have to escape into righteousness through that substance. So when that life, amen, when that life is flowing and we are partaking of that nature, we can then add the fruits. Look at the next verse. Amen. So without the life, you can't get the fruit. And it's not as though Satan has done. He has fought that message of divine life. But God is going to proclaim it from the rooftops. Amen? Because there's a famine in the land. And when the people come and they see that, look, there is bread in this place, then let's eat. Amen? All right? So, but that life is critical. How you cannot have fruit without the divine nature. It is intrinsic to the nature of God. You need the nature first. Then by that nature, you escape the corruption. Then you can plant and build the fruit. Amen? That's the will of God. And says, besides this, giving all diligence. Now that's important. We'll come back to that later. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity. Amen? Let's jump to verse 9. And it says, but he that lacketh fruit, he that lacketh is what? Blind. So you that's divine guidance. You lose that. So you make the wrong decisions. Wrong place at the wrong time. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But you know, that's the essence of the fruit. It makes you see. It's an abiding light. It's the path of the just that shines brighter and brighter. It's an abiding light that now illuminates you on the inside. So you see things the way God sees them.
You understand what is important. Bible says that we may approve the things that are excellent. You can separate the excellent from the mediocre. You can tell from the gold plated from the gold. And then you can take the right decision. Amen? That's the will of God. And cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was spoiled from his old sins. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, again, giving diligence to make your coin election fall. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Next verse, verse 11. For so, and what? Entrance. Shall be ministered unto you. Entrance is going to be ministered unto you. In Jesus' name. Abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is the path. Amen. And God wants us to aim for it. This is where our aim should be. Bible says, where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. Don't let your heart just go anywhere. You correct it and say, this is where we're going. This is our... So we define our treasure. Our treasure is the fruit. Our treasure is where we're going. Our treasure is righteousness. Our treasure is divine love. It's the same thing. Okay? Yeah, that's our treasure. And then, our heart will follow. And then the other things follow. Amen? Now, why is this important? Why is this important? If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, you see this. Why? 2 Corinthians. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So whatever it is we're going through, brethren, there's going to be a payday that will exceed all the labor you are putting. Amen. It's like paying you over and above what you thought or imagined. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And God measures it back onto you. That's his plan. And he's telling us already. He says a far more exceeding, and guess what? It is eternal. Not for 2,000 years old. It's eternal. And it's yours forever. But that weight of glory must rest on something. It's that character. So the way God knows that we are ready is when we have built the character. Then he can drop the mantle of the glory on that character. Amen? So the way, this is why we need to walk in the path to fruitfulness. Because the character to carry it, the glory can destroy. It destroyed Ananias and Sapphira because they didn't have the character. And that was not God's intention at all. It was just the fact of a lack of preparation on Ananias and Sapphira's part. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. He will not destroy us in Jesus' name. That's why God is taking his time. And so now we need to give all diligence to make sure that we develop the character and make it robust so that when God drops the weight of it, you can carry the weight, both spiritually and physically. Amen? Look at Psalm 132, verse 8. We see this. Are we getting something out of this? Amen? All right. Let's verse 8. Let's read it together. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. So the ark has strength. You must have strength to carry that ark. Next verse. Let thy priests be clothed with what? Righteousness, so they can carry the ark. Because the ark rests on the shoulders of the priests. Amen. All right, and let thy saints shout for joy, because God is in the camp. Next verse, okay? For thy servant, David said, turn unto me the face of thine anointed. Next verse. Give me the verse 12. Thank you, just to save time. Next verse. Well, okay, leave it. Because this is very important, brethren. It's generational. It's not just us alone. Our children too are involved in this. All right. And thank God, I am the children God has given. So we are children, and we also have children. Amen. All right. So if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. So it's a kingdom of priests. It's a kingdom of priests. Amen. Our children live the way we do. They follow our example. So they end up carrying the same glory God is pleased to release upon us. Look at the next verse. For the Lord has done what? Chosen Zion. He had desired it for his habitat. That's where he wants to live. Not in a temple made with hands. Amen. No, but in a human temple. Or next verse. For this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Next verse. I will abundantly bless her provision. Now, this is the fruit. This is the fruit. No? And then, I will satisfy her poor with bread. Next verse. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Next verse. There will I make the horn of David to bud. Fruitfulness. Amen. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. Next verse. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. A crown is a symbol of kingship. Amen. So we see that this is what happens. You know, the weight of the glory requires a place of rest for the character. So when so the character really is what carries the weight of that glory, and that glory is now what, when the glory is there, it now makes room in everywhere, in every area of our lives. It begins to make room with the things that ordinarily would have stood at his hindrance. Because of the presence of the glory, it just makes a way. Amen. That's the will of God for us, and that's going to be our experience in Jesus' name. So this is the first reason, you know, and this is why we keep on advancing. No matter what God has done, thank God for the great things God has done. Amen. But we always make sure that those things, we give thanks for them, but we don't let them distract us from the fact of where we're going. Amen. That this righteousness, we must keep working for righteousness and more righteousness and more righteousness. We will never be satisfied until we get to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. That's where we're going. Amen. The second thing is that there are powerful seducing spirits that Satan has released into the earth, you know, and their aim is to really take us subtly from that path of life. It's seducing because they sort of they lure the unsuspecting out from that path. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 11 to 15. Say, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. I have led you in the right paths. So if there are right paths, there must be wrong paths, isn't it? Next verse. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. Room. When you walk in the right path, there is room. Amen. Because of the character and the glory that comes with that character. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Next verse. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So obedience to instruction is key. It's very key. And we can see that from Isaac, that he did not deviate from the landmark of the fathers, called it the same name. No, called upon the same name his father called them, you know, in the same place. You can see arranging himself, positioning himself under covering. That's extremely key. Now that's how you do, by obeying instruction, is how you really show God that you are ready to follow into the glory. Amen. All right, next verse. Enter not. Everybody, let's say it together. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Next verse. Avoid it. Everybody, let's say it together. Avoid it. Okay. So avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass. This tells you that there are people that are at different stages on this. Thank you. It means that some people were on it. And he said, turn from it. There were some people that were getting close to it. And he said, pass not by it. Some people that were going there, they say, avoid it totally. Don't even go that way. Some people just be going your way. Pass away. So it means that Our position is dynamic. Our position is dynamic. And this is where diligence comes in. You know, because the more diligent you are, the further you are away from the path of the wicked. Who are the wicked? The ones that disobey verse 13. They do not obey instruction. And don't say it is them, brethren. It's us sometimes. I don't know where that happened to you. It's happened to me many times. You are disobeying instruction and you don't know you are disobeying instruction. I'm not talking about instruction that a man has given. You have done all the one that a man has done. A man has given you. But the one the Holy Spirit gave you to do at that time, you didn't even hear. You didn't even hear. Talking of, I heard, I didn't do it. Hello? I'm just trying to encourage you. And I'm alive today. Thank God for the mercy of the fathers. Amen. And you too, you are alive today. Do you understand what I mean? So what are we saying? We are saying that we need to be diligent. And like Pastor, you know, he explained that message, you know, he shared the message just about diligence, where he showed us that diligence is just being willing to do. Once you are willing to do, everything else you need, God will supply. So you can do it. Amen? So the key is to be willing. Is to remain. Bible says, my people shall be willing in the day of his power. So it's to be willing. Just to be willing. Just willing. But that is how to stay away from that path. Okay? So we'll not enter that path in Jesus' name. Okay? That's not the will of God for us. All right? So we must watch out for. Look at 1 Timothy 6:6. There's some things that are on this path because Satan does it. What he does is that he changes what we're looking at. But we start seeing something different. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with content. No, give me verse 5. Before verse 5. Yes. No, and he's talking about, yes. If any man teach otherwise, that's separate. And consent not to wholesome words. That is, God spoke to you. And or to the doctrine according to godliness. God spoke to you and you didn't agree. I mean, I'm talking about being taught. Thank God we taught, we're in this house and we receive what we're taught. Amen. But we're talking now about even sometimes in our daily activities, the Holy Spirit is saying something to us. Amen. And maybe you don't want to do it. This is some of the things that happened to us. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. He says, you are proud. For that instant, for that moment, you are proud. I didn't say it. The Bible did. Don't look at me like that. All right? But doting about question and strive for your... but it's not now. I don't really have to now. You're trying to justify yourself. There's something going on on the inside. Hello? All right, God will have mercy. It's only me is affecting. I'll repent. Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. Whereof cometh what? Envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. So, but what he's saying is that your eyes are off the love, the righteousness, and it's on something else. And for what you can see, you are giving up what you cannot see. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Alright? So we end up in strife. You know, the Bible says the ringing of the nose brings you try to insist on your own. You know, you allow thoughts that you should reject, sit very comfortably, you know, in your mind. You have evil surmises where you begin to really it's a lying vanity. You're seeing something that it looks real, but it's not real, or you are making a conclusion that is wrong. You know, 2 + 2, and you're getting 2,000. You know, from just looking at, I know she's the one that did it. They are talking about me or something, or you know what I mean. You just jump to some conclusion. Why? Because you are insisting on your own, and you give up that treasure on the inside, the peace and the love. You know, because of what you want to gain and your own right and your reputation on the outside. That's what he say. And we should be careful. We should be careful about that. So envy, strife, really. So on that path, they're looking at physical things. It's gain. Not godliness. It's gain. So you're gaining something. You're gaining reputation or respect or people or something else. There's something that you're gaining external that is not godly. It's not making you more like God. So you need to know that's what that path is about. It distracts you, takes your eyes off what you're supposed to be looking at and puts it on something else. Okay? And then the next one, the last one here, is that we should not be lazy. Amen. We should not be lazy spiritually. All right. We said as much that we should be willing to do all. So the key here is willingness to do all. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Okay. So we're willing to do all. I know, brethren, it's walking with the Holy Spirit that really helps us to bring these things to life. You know, you walk with the Holy Spirit, and like Pastor has taught us, you know, you acknowledge Him and you speak to Him, you know, and you just let Him know how you are, you know, and you stay close to Him. Bible says we present ourselves, you know, as a living sacrifice. So every time, ever so often, you present yourself to the Holy Spirit. And when you present yourself to the Holy Spirit, there is mercy available. Amen. That's why I beseech you by the mercies of God, and to present yourself. So in the light of the mercies of God that are available, keep presenting yourself. If you go a long time without presenting yourself, you are standing on your own. So that's why it's good to exercise ourselves in that once every 6 hours, you know, at every opportunity, you know, in every temptation, hour on the hour, as much as we can. You know, so that the Holy Spirit can help us, because that's really what we need to do. It says here in the B part of the scripture, it says, I found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now we are growing into it, okay? But everybody has to exercise to get there. That's the will of it. So it's an exercise. It's just a continual. So brethren, you may fall today, pick yourself up again. The just man falls 7 times and rises again. Amen. And because each time you fall, there's something you're learning. And you're not going to make that mistake again. Amen. So you keep learning until one day you will never fall. That's what he said in 2 Peter. He said, if you continue in these things, you will never fall. And an entrance will mean that it is scripture. It cannot be broken. So you can tell yourself, one day I will never fall. One day I will never fall. Amen. Amen. And that encourages and keeps us going. Amen. That's the will of God for us. So how do we then do? Before we do that, I want to show you a story. In the story of Joseph, you know, there was no, these things takes time. So I want to, God just uses to encourage me, you know, and I want to share it with you. There was no room for Joseph in his father's house. Among his brethren, there was no room. They sent him out. In fact, they wanted to kill him, if not for the special mercy of God that converted it into being sold into slavery. There was no room for him in Potiphar's wife's house. In Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife had him thrown out. There was no room. But notice that all that time, Joseph was growing. I don't know what it is you are going through. Circumstances, there is no room. At a certain point in time, you will not be the first, you will not be the last. There was no room for Isaac at a point in time. There was no room for Joseph at a point in time. There was no room for Jesus at the inn at a point in time. Amen. But there came a point in time in the prison where there was some room. God made some room in the prison. Amen. And he found favor with he interpreted the dream of the butler, the baker, and ultimately Pharaoh. And then he now ultimately came into a place where there was abundant room. To the point where the people that had sent him out before and said there was no room, they were now at his mercy. His brothers, Potiphar and his family, the butler and the baker. No, the baker was dead. The butler. Was at his mercy. Everybody came back because God made room for him. So, brethren, it's an encouragement that if we stay with this, God will bring us into a large place. Amen. It's as sure because it's scripture. Amen. So, how then do we do this? How? Well, it's really one, follow fathers. Remember our fathers, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. And follow their example and their instructions. Hebrews 13. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. It's very clear, specific. So you follow the example of their faith, the way they've instructed you to pray, the way they've instructed you to read the word, the habits you know that they have, you follow. Amen? It's very important. Considering the end of their conversation. Look at Isaiah 51, verse 2. It is by following them that you plug yourself in into the life that is flowing. Because there is a river of life that is flowing. But it's not flowing just anywhere. It's flowing along a certain path. And you have to plug yourself into that path by submitting to consider authority. Amen? Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bear you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Next verse. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He shall comfort all her wasteland. He shall make her wilderness like Eden. You can see fruitfulness there. The wilderness being made like Eden. Her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. From plugging in. That's the beginning. The disciples simply plugged in. What are you doing? Won't you go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Plug in. I'm not going. If anybody tells me to go, I'm not going. I know I'm going to plug in. All right, so that's the first part. Second part. So, and by plugging in, following the example, some key instructions that Pastor has given us and is explained to us, you know, the key disciplines of the Christ life that Pastor emphasized, and I just want to mention them again. Number one, waking up early for Good Morning Jesus prayers is extremely critical, because in Mark 1:35, we're following the discipline of Christ. The Bible says, a great while before day, he would wake up. Let's look at that. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So we're following that pattern. That's a very important discipline. The next one is praying with travail regularly. So apart from Good Morning Jesus prayers, we also have to learn to pray consistently, you know, for other areas and aspects of our lives. We have to pray for ourselves, our family, our work, things we're doing. We have to come and pray all night. Those things are part of the discipline that is required. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. So those prayers are important. Then the next one is fasting. And thank God we're all doing it together. Amen. All right. We're on day 31. All right. Praise God. Let's give God a clap of you. Hallelujah. Amen. We were on 21-day fast. We were there through the 3-day fast. In between this, we were there. Do you understand? So, it's a discipline. And even after this fast ends, we will still be fasting. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it's a discipline. Okay? Bible says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to choose the good and refuse the evil. No, it's true, sir. Righteousness. There are levels of righteousness you cannot break into if you don't watch. If you don't watch what you eat, how much you eat, and living a fasted life. And it's a discipline, basically. You know, and we want to go. We're going all the way, aren't we? We're going all the way. Amen. All right. So, I mean, we're going, whatever it is. The next one, the next key one, is the fear of God. Bible says he was heard in that he feared. Thank you for that. He was Isaiah 7:15. He was heard in that he feared. So that is critical, in the sense that, you know, we violently, I love the way Pastor put it when he was sharing with us about the sure mercies of David. He says, violently reject pride and dishonesty. Violent. It has to be violent rejection. You know, don't pat it on the head and try and understand it. This is pride. I submit to the will of God.
You know, I know, be meek. You know, be, you know, submit, meek. You know, be open, be teachable. You know, so that, I mean, not open to everything and anything that comes your way, but be open to the will of God. I love the way the Bible says it in John 5:30. You know, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will. God will help us to do it in Jesus' name. So these are things that we have to exercise ourselves in. You know, nobody is born with a David's heart. Pastor has often told us that. So we have to exercise our way there. Amen. And we're going to get there and stay there in Jesus' name. So we have to cultivate a David's heart and maintain it. Okay? And number three, watch and pray more frequently and fervently. And brethren, this is very important. We know Deuteronomy 6:6-7, once every 6 hours at every opportunity. We know these instructions are not new, but we need to do them, you know, consciously by faith. Yeah, and that's why Pastor has been talking about seeing the invisible. We have to do these things by faith. So when you confess your sins, you clean the blood, you see the sprinkling of the navel region. You know, you see in Jesus in my half life, Lord, I receive your life. You see the flow of the life of God. In Jesus in my half life, no, Lord, have mercy on me as I pray. I receive your power. You see the rising of the power in your heart. It's a picture. And it makes all the difference. All the difference to just saying empty words. See, Satan knows when your words are empty. He knows. So we shouldn't fall into that trap of just mouthing things, you know. No, we watch and pray means that we acknowledge God for mercy. We thank him for all he's doing. We do those things consistently. So your mind is not blank all through the day. As often as you can, you keep engaging with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Talking to him, thanking him, acknowledging, receiving mercy to walk in love, you know, consistently. That's important. And you know, as we do this, you know, we receive mercy, and we also receive truth. And the Bible says in Proverbs 6, you know, Proverbs 16 verse 6 and 7. Let's look at the Proverbs 16, 6 and 7. It says, by mercy and truth, what happens? Iniquity is purged. This is how we possess our thoughts. Because brethren, until we possess our thoughts and remove those thoughts of envy and replace them with thoughts of love and thoughts of selflessness, you know, until we do those things, we have not occupied. Amen. So we need to occupy. Say, I will occupy every space in my soul. So we need to occupy. And by the grace and the mercy of God. But it's by mercy and truth. Look at the next verse. It says, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So you see that when that work is there, you naturally gravitate towards righteousness. Amen. Next verse. And when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So, you know, one leads to the other. You know, so you can't, sometimes you just walk away. You have to walk away and allow the truth to reign in your heart. Amen? And when you've done that enough, then God himself will now bring your enemies and subject them to you. Amen? That's the will of God in his time. All right? And then the fourth thing is that we read and study God's word daily. Luke chapter 4 verse 4. We live on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So we read and study God's word daily. That is very simple. Just follow the Good Morning Jesus format. We have a Bible reading format. We have a Bible study format daily. Just follow it. Amen. And as we follow it, you know, you don't know what God is doing on the inside. Amen. Let me give you a peek by the great help of the Holy Spirit. Look at Luke 24, verse 27. All right. Luke talking about two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And they met with Jesus. And they didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus was talking to them. Okay. And at the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's what God is doing through that Bible reading and the Bible study. He's expounding to you and I things concerning himself. Amen. Let's look at verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, symbolic, and blessed it, and brake,
and gave to them. So God will break down the word. As you go over it, check the scriptures. Don't just, you know, it's very easy. I don't know whether it's only you. I get tempted sometimes to just read it and not open the scripture. Particularly when you know the scripture. Hello? You open it and let him break it. He took bread and blessed it and break it and gave to them. Amen? Look at verse 35. And they told what things were done in the way, the path, and how he was known of them in breaking of. It's in the breaking of bread that you know him. There is a level of knowing that occurs when you allow him to break the bread. Amen. All right. And it is when you now know him, Satan cannot, you know, because it's not enough to know the scripture. You know, Pastor often says it. No, Satan knows the scripture better than us. So it's not just knowing the scripture that is there, but it is knowing the spirit and the letter. That's what helps us in temptation. Look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus, the very Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. And he brought him. All this was in his mind. So it's about thoughts. What happened to the man whose ground brought forth plentifully? He said he thought within himself. So brethren, these are thoughts. This path is in the thoughts, is in the mind. Say, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Next verse. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Next verse. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Scripture. It's just twisted scripture to do the wrong thing. Hello? All right, but that's where when you know him, it's not just knowing the scripture. When you know him, it's different. Look at verse 12. And Jesus answered unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. This is not glorifying God. It's not bringing more of God. Is bringing more of me. It has to be wrong. Amen. Amen. So this way we overcome. We overcome. So we overcome. That's how we're going to enter into the glory. As we follow our fathers, from one temptation you overcome. When you don't overcome, you do the receipts. There's receipts. There's receipts. Just don't stay at it for a long time. Quickly pass the receipt and move on so we can enter into the glory. Amen. Let us bow our heads as we pray. The path to fruitfulness is in the way of diligence, diligently keeping the law of the Spirit of life, under covering of set spiritual fathers, practicing, exercising God's love under pressure, discerning by wisdom, desiring by compassion, doing by power what God would do in every situation. That's the path. But so much goes into it. Keeping our hearts, waking up early to pray, following the prayers, not sleeping. If you're sleepy, walk around. Now arise, O Lord, and
resting place, you and the ark of your mind. And now we shall rejoice as we're clothed in your righteousness and celebrate our God.
Now arise, now arise,
O Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your mind. And now we shall rejoice as we're clothed in your righteousness and celebrate our God. Baruch Abba Hashem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes. Baruch Abba Shem Adonai. You comes in the name of the Lord.
Stand in faith, a sign that we need help, and put our left hand on our hearts. Say, Heavenly Father, God of mercy, God of truth, thank you for today. Thank you for your word that has come to me, showing me that it is your will for me to walk in the path of life, of increasing life, and the fruit of the Spirit. Not being distracted by physical blessings, not being distracted by temptations, but rather following single-mindedly on this path of righteousness, love, and obedience, discerning by wisdom, desiring by compassion, and doing by power what you would do in every situation. Help me, Lord, by your mercy, so that I will keep your word in my heart diligently. And as I keep it in my heart diligently, I will be a doer of the same word. And by doing your word, I will live in righteousness. And in righteousness, I will be delivered from death. And as I exercise myself continually in the same, an entrance into the everlasting kingdom will be ministered unto me abundantly under the covering of my fathers. Help me, Father, to be faithful, so I will inherit under covering a borrowed anointing, and with faithfulness come to inherit the full anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Jacosai, ringa da ba du ba du ba tanto ba, rasasto fe ke ko kwak katanto, jeka kosea, rapa pa ye, yeworia, ramobo pe ankosato, rose saka komaya, yewomia volea, yewotwadea, rokose so bakayo, rapa pa 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 pa, rapa pa pa, kaka koseke de vebari kanama, ranga da 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 ba tuma, rapa kaka kosege, randa ba de doro, rode de.
In Jesus' name, amen.